This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, we are here on our podcast, Gayotic. I'm Josette. I'm the narrator of this podcast, if you didn't know. And I give tiny little thoughts about everyone in the room. There's Katie across from me. Katie's the kooky one of the crew.
Just tiny little thoughts.
Naomi's to my diagonal. And Naomi's cool, calm, collected on the keys, breaking it down. And we are here with our stylist and a new entrepreneur, Olivia Corey. Everyone, give it up for Olivia. Beep, 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 beep.
Hi, guys.
This has never happened on the podcast before. We've never introduced anyone like that.
I'm
kind of here for
that
it.
That was good, though.
No, okay. But seriously, we're very excited to have you on. How long have we been working with you now? Like,
4 years.
Wow.
I feel like that's a lot.
That's crazy.
Olivia takes our gorgeous dysphoric bodies and brings them to life.
It is true. It's actually been, I think we're lifting, it's like, it feels like we're lifting up the curtain a little bit and revealing the Wizard of Oz, because
behind how we look so cool.
Well,
and how everyone wants to be exactly like us.
I do feel like it's a big part of like building a campaign and building a world. Is like having someone who can figure out how to actually execute the creative vision in terms of what you're wearing.
Which is like, who knows what it is ultimately at this point.
Yes.
But, well, you have to vibe it out. Yes. Master vibes.
Some of us have more vibes than others. Some of us feel a little bit lost. I won't name names and say who's who.
It's fun to dress all three of you, though, because you're all so different.
Say more.
Yeah, let's get into the hot seat.
Say more. We will talk about what you're actually here to talk about, but I actually do want you to say more about that.
Oh, no, just that you all have different people with different bodies and mm-hmm. different energies, and instead of trying to put you in clothes that aren't you and you feel uncomfortable in, I think that's where that's how we work together. It's like, What do you feel good in?
Right.
And I think working from a place of that and then also having, like, creative edge helps making, like, create the vision.
I wonder, like, because in my experience with having been styled, so much of it was so, like, I don't know, very, like, prescriptive and strange and kind of, like, I think things have gotten a little bit, like, better just culturally, like, generally speaking uh-huh. about how, uh-huh. like, people dress and, like, you don't have to have a certain body type to wear a certain kind of clothing item, like it just doesn't matter.
Or and gender expression.
Yeah, both in my particular case. But I feel like I had so many strange experiences of people being like, because your body looks like this, you should wear things that are like this and like this and like that. And then just kind of being like, oh, that's a bizarre thing to say to somebody ultimately.
But we fell for it for a long time.
I know.
We also
it's crazy.
We didn't have the tools. We didn't know how to advocate for ourselves. And uh-huh. also, yeah, it was a process.
Yeah.
Definitely
I think that
a process.
Is crazy to look back on. And I think it's a part. I mean, the thing about styling is like, yeah, it's relevant for people who are musicians or like, in have that kind of career where what you're wearing is part of, you know, the story that you're telling, but it also is relevant for anybody. But it is interesting to look back on, like, when we were starting out, you just assume that other people, like, know better than you do.
Yeah.
And if someone else is telling you, like, it would look cool if you did this, then you'll go against, like, what you're feeling and what feels right for
100.
You. It's been a journey of, like, return, basically, to going back to, like, actually, this is just what I feel comfortable in. And that's ultimately going to look the coolest. But it's also being able to, like, one thing that I appreciate about this relationship is, like, and it's kind of similar with people that are producing records, actually, everyone is just also a little bit of a therapist. Like, you have to be able to tell the person, like, about your insecurities or, like, what your pathologies are, because it's like there are things that you might think you, I don't know, you have to be able to be honest and say, like, I don't feel comfortable in this because I have a thing about my arms or something like that. Or like we all have our specific things that you already know about.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to want that because it accentuates an insecurity or something like that. And then sometimes you have to, it's exposure therapy where you have to be like, I feel like I look bad in this or something like that, but it's actually not true.
You need someone to tell you that you look great in that.
Yeah.
You're killing it. Yeah. Sometimes that's all that is of a stylist, of like, you look amazing. You kind of just need that second eye, that confirmation that like you look good and you should feel good in what you're wearing. Mm-hmm. But it is hard. And I feel like we do so well together because I have known you guys for so long.
Yeah.
It's still hard, but it definitely makes it easier.
And we apologize.
When you know someone's personality, it's hard to just show up on set and meet someone for the first time and dress them.
Right. That's, do you do that often? Like, how did you start styling?
I started styling, I worked at Free People in Urban Outfitters. And so that was just like models would come in into Philly and we'd dress them and it was just photo shoots. It was way different though, because that was more about the clothes, not about the person.
Right.
And I like way more working with the people and it being about the person and then finding clothes to match them versus it just like selling something.
For sure.
And then I came out here and freelance and started working with musicians more so, which is way more fun to me.
Yeah, because they, I guess like if you're a musician, you're bringing more personality to the clothes than the fashion industry is, I guess.
Can we ask like who, when you came out and started working with musicians, like what, who did you first start working with and
who was your favorite band?
Mine was a bit crazier. Like I've moved to LA and then started freelancing and I worked with a stylist who put my name down to like work on this job and it was Yeezy.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And so like I kind of got like a whirlwind assisting. I worked for like Frank Ocean stylist and Kanye stylist and Kim Kardashian stylist. And so like all of those people, which was amazing.
What was it actually like? What did you do like on a day to day?
On a day to day, like I remember Frank Ocean had his birthday party and it was inspired by Paris is Burning.
Yeah, yeah. I remember the pants he wore.
Yeah. So all those clothes that like all his friends wore and that he wore, like I pulled them all and went to all the costume houses.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know you did that.
Yeah. There was, it's a lot. Like it's fun. Even though you're an assistant, you're still like very much in the process doing a lot of it. But yeah, I just remember being at like midnight walking down Hollywood Boulevard looking for sparkly underwear.
Yeah.
Like stuff like that. God. You're just like working constantly.
Yeah.
And things change a lot. But honestly, all those people that I just mentioned were incredible people to work for. So it was good.
What did you dress like when you were a little kid?
I mean, I was dressed by my mom
oh.
a lot of the time. as a little kid, yeah. I didn't necessarily leggings? Go shopping.
leggings on top.
I don't know. Do y'all remember an early purchase of like when you were shopping that was kind of important to you?
Yes,
I had so many clothes. I had my leather jacket. I got my plain Converse. I got my stinky shoes, which are some Jordans.
I had a flame hat. I had
a flame hat.
That was, it was in like 01.
And you remember getting that and being like, this is kind of who I am.
Cool hat. And then I got a pair of board shorts with insane designs on them that I wore as shorts.
I had a pair of flame shorts.
Mine didn't have flames, but they had like
I was really into fire.
What about you, Olivia? What were like your childhood purchases that you were like, this is who I am?
I don't know if you guys want to know.
I really want to know.
How we do.
And also, I remember some of mine now. It didn't start until like sixth grade, but
mine was definitely the velour jumpsuit with the pants and the top.
Wait, was it Juicy specifically?
No,
or was
I didn't have enough money for Juicy. So, I mean, well, not that Limited 2 was too far off, but it was definitely like a big deal for me, and it was from Limited 2.
This is my question.
Hell yeah.
The thing that I think is, it's maybe could be specific to people who have more gender based like dysphoria and like dysmorphia. Having that leather jacket and those flame things were so specific to my identity,
changes
and I still resonate with them now. Do you resonate with the velour, like, jumpsuit? Or is that out of the wheelhouse?
it's out of the wheelhouse. I think that just comes from being so like into clothes. Like I like to change my out, like I like to dress up a lot. Uh-huh. So I think it's just evolved. So now I'm not, I don't still have it in my closet or anything like that.
But do you, could you see yourself being there?
No, I don't think so.
But you have the, but you know, it's like you have the energy in your heart. It's like secretly, they become these little, I don't know, muses or like,
when I see it at the Silver Lake Flea, I'm like, I get nostalgic, but I won't buy it again.
Yeah. It's such a journey. It's like, it is interesting. I think I've learned from this relationship the importance of like taking some time to prepare and like look at photos of something that I like. I like shopping a lot more when I go in with like a specific item or something that I'm looking for. Cause I'm someone who gets really overwhelmed by the, it will become a question of like, who am I? Yeah. And then it's like, I gotta go home.
And then that's a problem.
But if it's like, where is like the cool vest, you know, then
manifest it.
Then I like shopping.
Know. Yeah.
Do you make mood boards for yourself or no? Or just know what you already want?
I really dress from a place of I want to be comfortable.
Yeah,
So not really. And like I said before, I like to change it up. Like sometimes when I'm done working with you guys, I might accidentally dress like you when I'm done because I'm just doing that. Or I'll work with someone else and it'll be like a ton of dresses and then I'll just start wearing dresses.
Yeah, yeah.
Stuff like that. But I definitely mood board for you guys. And
which
other
is interesting
because
I know you identify as like a really empathic person, which you are. So it's like you kind of take on other people's energies. So you're also
and their outfits,
yeah.
That I put and them in.
It's kind of inevitable, I think. Though it's like if you're just steeping in that world, then it makes sense that you're gonna be affected by it.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, are we your favorite band that you've ever worked with?
With three people in it.
With three people in it.
Yes, 1,000. I've never had a relationship with a client like this before.
Oh, well, that's really nice. We haven't had a relationship with a stylist like this before. Yeah, meaning that we text you in the middle of the night.
Meaning the kissing, meaning like, all the kissing that we do.
Yeah, that too. But we talked about not on that note. Who said that? Did Joe or Katie say that?
No, Katie.
We're here not to talk only about clothes.
Well, I kind of wanted my question about where you're going is...
The vagina?
No.
What? Actually,
right into it.
I mean, I am always very interested in people who are clearly creative humans whose lives, like, take these different twists and turns based on just like kind of following your instinct of like where you want to go next. And I think it's really normal in our society. Like if you have one passion that you've been successful at, people are like, well, you should just keep doing that because it's been working for you. And like, you already have like built up, you know, a portfolio or whatever it is. So I think it's interesting, like, the actual story, because you are starting to do something now that seems like a totally different world. But I'm curious if you can just kind of take us through, like, how did you go from living your life where you're mainly working as a stylist to starting to be curious about this different field?
Yeah, I love styling, but I definitely had moments at night where I felt like I wasn't doing not enough, but just like something that, yes, I can help people feel better in their bodies, but I wanted to have like a bigger impact.
Yeah.
Just coming from a mom who's like an environmentalist and, you know, is out there constantly on the forefront. I just kind of wanted to have that element in my life and not just as like a side thing of like posting on Instagram, but something that I could stand by. And I think when I got the diagnosis of PMDD, which is premenstrual dysphoric disorder, which is a mood disorder related to your menstrual cycle, it kind of was like a light bulb moment, especially because my mom, who is a naturopath, like my answer wasn't instantly like, okay, I'm going to do birth control or I'm going to do mood stabilizers. So I had to figure out a way to like help myself or manage what I was going through.
Well.
Holistically, just because that's kind of what I grew up in. And so the more research I did, the more just kind of scary the like lack of research that there is around the menstrual cycle and reproductive health. And so the more I kind of got into it, the more I became obsessed with it. And then I would just talk to friends, just like how I am. And I talked to my sister-in-law, and she kind of had her owner experience. And like everyone had something, whether it's PCOS or endo or mood disorder or just bad menstrual cramps or just everyone dealt with something. So I was like, this is crazy. And no one had an answer.
Yeah.
There's still like amazing thought leaders in the space who I look up to. But yeah, not a lot. And so I kind of was like, let me see if I can do something with my sister, develop a product. They have like a lot of connections in that space of like creating something D2C. And then, yeah, I just kept meeting more amazing people and wanted to like create a conversation around it. Cause I think that's what it is. It's been like stigmatized for so long where it's like, you know, here's a tampon, you know, like you're hiding it on set. Yeah. So
and it's also like so much of everyone's, if you have a period, it's like a lot of your month, if not the whole month. And we'll talk more about that because I know that you have like a sort of different way of thinking about the cycle as an ongoing thing. But sorry, to finish what you're saying.
Finish first, but oh my God, I have so many questions.
No, you can ask. I'll get into the cycle stuff too, because I think that is a misconception of like your menstrual cycle is just your period.
Yeah.
But it's not. Like we're going through crazy changes in our bodies every single week. And there's like, to simplify it, I'll just say there's four phases. Technically, there's like two with moments in between, but for simplicity, it's four phases. And each of those phases, our hormones are fluctuating in different ways. Our body calls for different things. And so I think that there's just been a knowledge deficit around what happens in our bodies for so long that it's really just about getting more in tune with it and listening to what it needs and not just pushing through like, okay, I have my period and just like, now I need to go to this like HIIT workout and I need to like, I try to not even schedule stuff around my luteal phase, which happens before, which is technically like where PMS exists, but I don't really like the word PMS. But anyway, I ramble. Sorry.
No, keep going.
But it's all very interesting.
It's like, so I try to not like book flights or like, you know, socialize. And it's like, I'm in my luteal phase. I just ended ovulation. And so even this morning, like we were talking about crying, like I like wept this morning. And so there's just a lot of changes that it's like hard. And I feel like, you know, not necessarily, well, because of the patriarchy, it's just kind of like focus and do this and go, 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 go. And we're like trying to be these entrepreneurs and trying to be these musicians on tour. And we're like constantly told that we just have to push ourselves. Mm-hmm. And the people with uteruses, like, and what we go through on a constant basis, like our bodies actually can't do that. And they're not really supposed to do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I can get more into it later if you want to have questions.
That's so fucking interesting.
I have too many questions. My first question is for people that are listening who have periods and like maybe haven't learned a lot about this, which is probably a lot of people.
Me.
Yeah. It's like,
Joe will be a stand-in for
all of
for
those
this.
Different, things that you described, which I think you said PCOS.
Yeah.
That's PCOS.
Yeah. It's PCOS. Okay. Yeah.
Polycystic ovary syndrome.
This is like where, I mean, from what I understand, this can be like a person who might have like 50 days go in between their periods. Yeah. Right? And then they experience certain kinds of weight, different kinds of weight fluctuation and like shit like that. Right.
Yeah, exactly. So you don't ovulate as much. And so ovulation is like a big part of all of it. And so then you end up creating more of like the male hormone. Mm-hmm. To be completely honest, I don't know a ton about PCOS, but I'm learning every day. And I feel like so is everyone. I feel like even people with PCOS and even doctors that you go to don't know a lot about it, which also just goes back to the idea of the lack of research and why this all happens.
So I have a friend who has it. And for a while I thought that I should get tested for it. I actually do have a regular cycle, so I don't know if that like disqualifies me from having PCOS, but that was like specifically her experience. She was like, I went to the doctor and it was almost comical. Like it really felt like I was just talking to a friend and my friend was being like, yeah, dude, I don't really know. I'm not really sure. It's like
It's like the 1800s where they're like, I don't know.
Insane, because it's like, this is an issue that affects a lot of people. But I think because it's people who get their periods or it's just like there's not research behind it. It's not taken seriously. And she had to like embark on this journey of like figuring out on her own what was the treatment that worked for her. So I did think about her when I heard that you were like starting this organization, but my question about like that stuff in general is like, if somebody maybe has PMDD but like doesn't know it, it's like what are some like symptoms or like signs in people's lives that like, how does this stuff show up?
Yeah, I think everyone has their own. It shows up in so many different ways because, like, I think my biggest emphasis is we're all so different. Mm-hmm. And so we all have different ways of healing and different ways of figuring out diagnosis. Yeah. But for me, and this is just like really being honest, I was one person half of the month and then a completely different person the second half of the month.
How long did what phases did the bad
happen? I'll start with that just so you guys can explain. I won't but there's four phases. So the menstrual cycle starts with your period. Your estrogen and progesterone a little low, so you might feel like the same way. Then you go into the follicular phase. It's very regenerative. Like, you might feel really good. That's like the best time to go do HIIT workouts and stuff like that. You feel like your best self. That's when I feel like my best self. It lasts for, like, for me personally, again, everyone's different, like a week and a half. That's like all I get.
Is that around ovulation at all?
That's right before ovulation.
Okay. Yeah, because that's when you feel like a sexy bad bitch. Yeah. You look at yourself in the mirror and you're like, ooh, fuck mm-hmm. yes. Yeah. And then every other day of the month is hell.
Yeah.
It's really crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so right after ovulation, it's like, and crazy. Literally I just ovulated 2 days ago and it's like clockwork. We're like, wow, I already feel a difference in my mood because your hormones are fluctuating.
Yeah.
Well, during part of our cycles right now.
During ovulation, are you still feeling, would you consider that part of the feeling good?
Because your estrogen's really like high. It's like, that's kind of like your happy hormone. Okay. For sure. And also ovulation only happens like for one day pretty much like you got like that 24-hour time period and you'll notice a difference. I don't need to get super into it, but just with like your cervical mucus and stuff like that is like ways you can tell.
I have another question about ovulation.
Yeah.
Have you heard about the butt twang?
No. What's that?
Are you talking about the gooch pain?
Oh,
that's
this
real.
It's like something that it's like the butt twang. You have once in a while.
You have a cramp in your taint when you ovulate. It's the truth.
And it's like it doubles me over.
Yeah, it'll shoot.
But wait, what did you call it at first? The butt twang.
Butt twang. Mm.
Because
gooch pain, taint pain.
This was like an example of the TikTok algorithm like being creepy to me. Like, I don't know how it knew that I experienced the twang, but I was getting videos of...
Title of ep, the twang.
The twang. I was getting videos of like young girls like making these like funny versions of like when the butt twang hits or whatever.
I think you showed us one of these.
And I was like, what is this? But that was how I realized that that was related even to my cycle and to ovulation. I always was like, well, this can't be a cramp because it's like directly opposite of when I get my period. But
the lack of education is like alarming.
I know,
truly.
It's just messed up that like that's how I found out about that was
TikTok.
TikTok
is very
but
educating.
Thank you,
though.
Teenage girls on TikTok who were brave enough to talk about getting a butt twang. You're releasing your egg. But yeah, I mean, it's like a very sharp cramp. It's like my most intense period cramp, 100%. But it's not when I get my period. Have you had it?
I have the butt twang.
Naomi's had it.
Mine is not necessarily. It
just
is
twang.
It's incredibly sharp. Yeah. I wouldn't describe it as like, it's very uncomfortable. It's not as painful as my period cramps because my period cramps are directly from Satan, the devil himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Crawling up inside me and like ripping my intestines out of my every part of me and me crying, shaking on a bed.
Poor baby.
You remember the one time you were like, do we need to take you to the hospital?
Yeah. You guys went to Huntington Beach.
Ooh, I went to Huntington Beach right after that Advil kicked in. but it took a lot. Yeah. But yeah, I got the twang.
So it's normal. The twang is normal. It happens.
And then after ovulation.
I was going to ask about what's after ovulation.
That is the worst time, at
and
least for
me. And I will need
me.
All of this written out after.
That's the luteal phase. Mm-hmm. And that's, like, for a lot of people, like, progesterone is supposed to be this calming kind of hormone. But for people specifically, and I know a lot about PMDD just because that's what I go through, we have, like, I have a sensitivity towards the hormone fluctuation. Uh-huh. So I respond in a different way to progesterone. So it's like anxiety, overthinking, suicidal thoughts, like manic episodes. Mm-hmm. And you can tell the difference between like typical like premenstrual experiences or PMS and like something like PMDD, like it, you can tell the difference. Like anything that's a bit more severe than what you think is like, okay, like you should probably start tracking your cycle.
When you say severe?
If it's getting in the way.
If it's getting in the way of your life. Like if you can't go to work, if you are, if your relationships are suffering, if, and like same with the pain too. Like I also think there's this weird thing that you go to your doctor and you're like, yeah, I'm just having really bad pain. It's like, okay, well just, you know, you can go birth control or you can just take Midol. And so there's this idea that that's, we're supposed to have this pain and we're supposed to live through this pain.
Totally.
And it's like, we actually like don't have to.
Also, if we work with it.
The crazy thing.
Instead of against it.
It's like, that's just also such a Western way of thinking of like the only thing that you can do is to just take a pill or drink or medicate it in some way before exploring like other options,
like the root, like trying to focus on okay, why is this happening in my body instead of like wanting to just put a band-aid on it. And I don't blame anyone who's like, everyone has busy lives, do what you need to do. Everyone feels different, and like birth control works really well for some people and really bad for other people, and same with everything else. So it's really up to you. But yeah, I think just like understanding more about what is going on in your body and why it is happening versus just being like, oh, I'm getting my period and I'm PMSing and I'm bitchy and I'm sensitive. Right. It's
How long does that last?
So the luteal phase, it lasts, again, it's like, it can last between 10 to 16 days. It's different for everyone.
Okay, so when you were saying half the month, you were really meaning
Yeah, I really mean like half the month. Like we have like a manifesto at Hummingway where it's like, we literally just kind of all felt collectively that we just had one good week. And when I say that to a lot of people, everyone's
dead
like,
ass.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Dead ass. 1 week of being normal and then everything else is hell. Like pretty much,
ways,
to be honest.
Definitely.
Like I only... It was only when I saw the study about like, it was like a photo study, a photo like essay about you took a picture of yourself every day of your cycle. And then like the days where the person looks the happiest.
Didn't we see that together?
I think we did. I didn't know until probably I was like 20 that you feel good when you're ovulating. And like, if you feel, or in your fertile window or whatever, whatever
weird,
I was calling it at the time. Very strange, very male-centric and baby-centric and so bizarre. But
something about the word fertile is so crazy.
It's weird.
It's just like disgusting.
Yeah, I
but
agree.
I really would like to take it away from myself.
There's something like white supremacist about the word fertile.
I think that
I don't
is
know how
to so much.
That.
Well, we are just baby makers, you know?
But no, yeah, before. It's the patriarchy. It's like, this is your, and like every other day of the month, you feel like hell because like your body
because you're not
able to be attracted to you
and
or something disgusting like that.
Yeah.
And just deal with it and shove it. And I had such a like, man, I've had like such a nightmare period just my whole life. And like the only thing that anyone, and I got my period really early. I got my period when I was like 11 and just nobody knew what to say or do to help you at all in any way other than just like, damn man, like just take Advil, I guess. And
yeah,
like
so much shame,
which makes you bleed more, and it's like a whole thing.
Yeah, we only figured that out about Advil.
Yeah,
recently.
What's the deal? I don't know about this.
It's crazy.
Well, it's because Advil's a blood thinner.
Yeah, Advil's not the greatest for
no,
you.
No, we didn't know this till we got Midol one time,
and we were like,
and
oh,
we were
this
both like, oh my god.
But that was around the one magical period that I had where I had a period that was the lightest period I've ever had for no reason, and it lasted 3 days.
It was when we were synced.
That was crazy. I was so excited and happy because that has never happened.
It's exciting
since.
To be synced to your buddies, and it's exciting to have a short period.
I think we might be synced, you and I.
Well, we just figured out I'm at the beginning of my luteal phase.
I don't know. I'm actually tracking my period right now.
Well, that's the thing is I started, that was actually a big shift for me, and I haven't really thought about it like in this way until sitting down at this table. But I did start tracking my period a couple years ago, and it helped me a lot with self-compassion.
100.
Yeah.
Because I sometimes just need to understand like the reasons. I think it's so much more humanizing to like have an understanding of, okay, my body is experiencing like these big hormonal shifts rather than like I'm PMSing. Not that everyone says it like that.
When you actually are PMSing, you're like, oh, PMSing.
But like I am someone who goes through a lot of emotional ups and downs, and I can be really sensitive, and it's nice to just have this tool of like, I just check my phone and I'm like, where am I at in my cycle? Because 9 times out of 10, I'm somewhere that like where it makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think awareness and having conversations like that is like half the battle, you know, just being aware, okay, I know that I'm going through this and it's temporary.
Yeah.
And also speaking to your partners about it. Like you guys know Sid, like he's like, I'm like, all right, I just finished ovulating. He's like, oh, so you're about to enter your luteal phase. So like
he's like, so I'm going to leave the house.
not no, but I definitely think there's definitely some things where he's like, you know, if we're fighting or whatever, he might just like
just more compassion, more
compassion, understanding why my brain might be going through this.
Totally,
that's really sweet and love to see.
Let me start by saying this show, Gaiotic, is sponsored by BetterHelp.
How are you guys doing right now? Speaking of BetterHelp.
Not good.
Yeah.
Well, you know, living in the world as we're experiencing it now can often be, you know, at times you'll feel elated and at other times you'll feel very depressed. And I think we oscillate between those two emotions frequently. And it's hard to do that by yourself.
Definitely.
Well, that's why it's so nice to have a therapist that you can talk to help bring you back to what you care about in life, or just talk about, you know, the everyday problems of existence.
Yeah.
You know?
We are very pro therapy as a band.
Hell yeah.
I'm also pro like getting help where you can find it. And what I love about BetterHelp is how accessible it is for people to try. I have a lot of friends where BetterHelp was like the first therapist that they
I was going to mention a friend
found.
Of ours who had a BetterHelp, who found his therapist through BetterHelp as an individual that travels quite a bit and needed to be able to do it over the phone. And yeah, it's like starting therapy can be a lot like starting to date, and it makes you feel very nervous and you do have to find the right person, and BetterHelp can, you know, kind of facilitate that process a little bit.
Definitely. So we encourage all y'all to visit betterhelp.com/gaiotic today, and you can get 10% off of your first month. That's betterhelp.com/gaiotic. Go to therapy, y'all. Go,
please.
You're listening to Gaiotic. Go to therapy.
Put the podcast down and get help with BetterHelp.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I mean, like the new version, like, I don't, because it obviously is a part of the patriarchy for to be like, you know, women can't be president because they PMS. But it's like, what about we just have a world that like considers these things as like scientific realities?
Also, here's the thing. Like, okay, people who have certain kinds of reproductive people, marginalized gendered people who experience periods.
Yeah.
Those folks aside, like cis men are experiencing extreme hormonal shifts all the time too, and we just don't talk about that.
We don't talk about
it. So it's like, why are you being so crazy? Like, but
what
to
are
like people
their
who
hormonal
have, they have
I
like,
don't know.
And,
you know,
but
I don't know.
Something with the tides and the moon.
They have like, they are as hormonally active as people who like have, you know, certain everyone with every kind
like
of reproductive system is fluctuating in a similar amount. We just don't pay attention to the way that, well, you know, a cis man.
They don't have a, like
what
a physical
a
thing, like they don't bleed or something.
They,
so it's like we don't pay attention to it as much.
Yeah. And there's some sort of like excuse that because people who, because they have this physical thing happen to them, it's like, oh, that's why you're being a fucking bitch. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Without understanding actually what's happening inside the body. And that's why it even happens to us. Like, because we don't know what's going on in our bodies. We just like assume like, okay, I'm just stuck being like this and feeling like this when you really, you don't have
you're
to.
You're not.
I just want to drop a crazy fact here.
Yeah.
Between 1977 and 1993, the FDA did not test any drugs on, you know, women or people with uteruses. So for 16 years, all the clinical drugs that were like made for us were just tested on cis men.
Isn't that absurd?
It's absurd.
No,
which is why we don't even know why that might all might affect us like way worse than, because it was tested on men. So we don't even know how it affects us. And same with birth control. It's pretty fucked
up. That's really crazy.
Because they didn't want to risk infertility. So they didn't test anything, which is crazy because then you think, okay, so then my whole purpose on life is just to like make a baby. And so you're not going to test things on me because you think that I just want to have a child. It's just like, I don't know. It's pretty messed up.
When I was in college, I took a sociology class and they were talking about a lot. There was like a few courses on like just like fertility testing and how many times like like, let's say a couple is having trouble to get pregnant and how the men's sperm won't even get tested because they immediately assume it's like the woman's womb. It's just interesting. But I do I have a few questions. So what do you do to help yourself now that you know that you have PMDD?
Yeah, so ways that I help myself are, again, like, I treat my body in different ways throughout the month. And obviously that's like, we already have to do so much. So I'm not like, eat this and create your diet plan or anything like that. But it's more so like, truly in your follicular phase, when you're feeling your best self, like, that's when you should be like doing those HIIT workouts. Or if you're gonna drink alcohol, you metabolize alcohol better.
That's crazy.
And then in your luteal phase, like, I don't do
high
intensity. Like, I suggest, like, I don't know what your workout you did today, but
that's so crazy.
Yeah. You're going to feel a lot better if you just keep it chill. Like, your body's slowing down because you have progesterone. So go to yoga,
right.
Do Pilates. Don't, I'm like, actually, it's kind of nuts because the more people just think, okay, every day I need to work out like this and every day of the month I need to be on a cleanse, you're not going to lose the weight or get where you want to be. But if actually
it's
you work out to your cycle, and eat to your cycle, you'll notice changes like that, not only like in the way you're feeling, but in like physical ways as well.
So when you're saying like
blowing
eat or do things too, so when could you go through each, yeah, go, could you be more specific through each phase?
So I allow myself, and as you guys probably know, like in your luteal phase, like you feel hungrier. It's because your metabolism is moving faster. So it's like, eat, for me, I, instead of like snacking all throughout the day, I'll eat three big meals and be proud of my hunger and eat and not like.
This makes me feel really good because that, sorry, I'll let you finish.
No, that's,
that,
you're fine.
That makes me feel really nice because that is how I feel.
Because aren't you building up your womb during this phase?
Wait, luteal's, yeah. Luteal's the time where.
The anticipation of the period.
Yeah,
right?
But that's when your progesterone is the
highest.
Okay,
and then what
you.
Happens is your the progesterone would stay high, but what happens is then you know, if you don't get pregnant, then it drops.
Okay, and that's why there could be a mood shift.
And that's why the uterine lining sheds, because those hormones drop and then your period comes.
Right.
Oh my God.
It's all coming together. And I will forget tomorrow.
My biggest thing would be avoid inflammatory foods. So like, I have a, so there's differences between food sensitivities and food allergies. So like, I have a food allergy to gluten.
Yeah.
But also gluten is like a big inflammatory, unless it's like your delicious home baked breads, which I
Do you mean like it causes, you're talking about like an inflammatory. Okay.
Yeah. And inflammation is like a huge trigger of like high histamine levels, like trigger your sensitivity towards the hormone fluctuations.
I'm having a moment right now of like just being so tripped out about like showing up at this table, like so tired and sensitive, and then learning like
about why you're tired.
Okay, well, I'm at the beginning of my luteal phase, and I did like way too hard of a workout this morning, and I'm just out.
I mean,
I'm
the crazy thing,
down for the count.
So interesting.
The crazy thing is, like, of course, when you're in your luteal phase, correct me if I'm pronouncing that incorrectly, but
I'm just picturing like somebody with a lute.
Yeah, that's how you can remember it. You're feeling freaky when you're on the lute.
I'm picturing the drunk like lutist in Sleeping Beauty.
Or is it luteal with a D? Or is it luteal with a T? With luteal. Okay,
luteal.
Yeah, so it is. So if you're in your luteal phase, that's also when you feel the most self-toxic. So of course your impulse is going to be to do self-harm, to do like too much.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Because you feel bad in your body and you want to work out and you want to feel less, whatever.
And you know what? I think I'm in that phase and I did slightly self-harm. And here we are. So what was the stuff you were looking up? Because I forgot.
Yeah, about hormones.
Oh, no, this was just about histamine.
Okay.
Yeah, read it.
Again, like it says histamine intolerance is the temporary state of having too much histamine. Mm-hmm. Still not answering our main question. But in addition to its role in immune function, histamine also regulates stomach acids, stimulates the brain, boosts libido, and plays a key role in ovulation and female reproduction. So it's not necessarily always a bad thing.
Yeah.
It's just
like
when you use too much of it.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So we were somewhat right and somewhat wrong.
This is the thing that I'm curious about. You know when we're on our period and everyone's like, I'm just hungry. It's like, eat the cookies. Is there something to that? But is there something to like that part of your cycle and wanting to consume like,
well, we haven't actually
food.
Gotten to that.
Yeah, we haven't gotten
have
to that
we?
Part.
Or does it just start
no,
over?
No, so we can take it back.
Well, the thing is like, definitely don't, you know, not eat those things, but sugar is an inflammatory, just in the same way that like alcohol is, especially refined sugar. So like my thing would be like eat the darkest chocolate that you can eat. Like personally, like I wouldn't go eat or like a refined cookie that like Chips Ahoy. I would go to like Whole Foods and get a hundred, like an 89% cacao bar or something like that is the this best is way to deal with that, because that refined sugar is going to be inflammatory. And then,
and the best time if I was going to eat the refined sugar would be to eat it when I'm ovulating, because I can break down the sugars the best then.
Or not necessarily when you're ovulating, because like I said, ovulation
right before
is, yeah, around that time, yeah, your metabolism,
your follicular,
yeah, your
shit.
Follicular phase. That's like, you can like
we gotta start planning our
yeah, we gotta start planning when we eat. We all gotta sync up.
But also, like, don't stress about it so much, because
no,
stress
so
and sleep are also, like, stress. If you don't stress out and you sleep enough, those are going to, like, give
that's
you a better
baseline.
Cycle. That's going to do more for you than a supplement, going to do more for you than, you know, focusing so much on what you're eating. But pay attention, I think, just to what you're putting in your body and what your body's calling for. But, yes, in your follicular phase, like, is when you can eat that, like, you know, nasty vegan burger and, like, have that,
and
indulge in those things. And then I would eat, like, wholer foods, like avocados and just, like, leafy greens and legumes during the luteal phase.
It's just interesting that we have been told, or like the folklore around the period in terms of what to eat is mm-hmm. the opposite. But I feel like people want an excuse to
why
to do,
do
that.
People do tell it? Me to eat meat when I have my period? Is that a thing?
Why do people tell me what to do?
Why is everyone telling me what to
why,
do today?
Why do people get off my back?
It's crazy, because you guys know I go kind of back and forth now, but when I was younger, like, and I didn't get my period till I was like 17, which is technically
wait.
Like not normal, mm. but we don't really like using that word.
Yeah.
I got it really late.
Oh, okay.
But I was also a vegetarian and played like intense sports, and that happens
so that,
a lot
yeah,
with athletes.
That happens
that,
a lot.
I know that happens with like dancers and shit.
Yeah.
What but sport? Volleyball?
Soccer.
Did you
oh,
want to have
think
it
volleyball
when you were like
tall.
15, or were you
oh,
chilling?
I did lie. I lied a few times, and like I would be like, oh yeah, I had to put this tampon in. Like I was like, and
I hate when
it.
I have
like,
to do that. I hate when I had to put that tampon in.
Which that's a whole, tampons are crazy too. But yeah, I did actually read in this book, which I'm just going to drop it here for people. Laura Bryden, The Period Repair Manual, like changed my life, and I'm okay. still learning every day. But in here, it tells you if like you are going to choose the vegan or vegetarian lifestyle, because meat has like a lot of B12 in it and iodine.
Take a B12
you,
supplement.
Yeah, take a B12 supplement. I just started.
Wait, when would you do, let's say based on my cycle, when would I do that all the time?
I'm really sensitive, even though I'm very much like into supplements. I get sensitive to supplements all the time. So I take personal like breaks. Like I do a lot of magnesium and a lot of iodine in my follicular phase.
Why? I want to say stupid stuff. But it's all
can,
too
you
smart.
Say stupid stuff.
I wanted to say,
whoa.
What if you get itchy sometimes?
Like if you get itchy from the supplements or just life in
no,
general?
No, I was just
life
being
in general,
like people
probably.
Tell me it's why do you keep laughing at this? One person has told me that, like, I guess it would be my luteal phase, or is there a specific word for, I guess, like, once you get your period, like, that you just go back into the follicular phase?
Is that what so... To be very specific, your period is technically in the follicular phase. A
right.
lot of people split it up into four different phases, but like scientifically, it's actually part of that phase.
Right.
It's just after it's over, then that's when like estrogen kind of boosts back up, because during your period, both those hormones are really low, which is kind of why your mood might be low.
So is the follicular phase like the shedding and the of the lining, uterine lining, and then the regrowth of
yeah.
the lining?
Yeah. Yeah.
Holy shit.
And then the other phase is the is. Ovulation, right?
Is ovulation. Right, ovulation, again, isn't technically like a phase. I don't want to confuse people, but it's
no,
it's a more of like a moment
questions.
Or like an event, because it only it's only a
it's
day.
One day.
And
yeah.
What
yeah.
phase is that in?
They call the disgusting word that I used, but the better word that
I think the luteal phase would be the regrowth, because it's like the shedding, which starts with the period, and then you're like building up to ovulation. And then once you've ovulated, then you start the luteal phase where the lining is building up again.
Yeah, it's kind of, so if you look at like an image, it's like you have the follicular phase and there's a lining there. But then yes, just as Katie said, like it grows and grows, like ovulation, it's preparing to hold the baby.
Yeah,
that's
yeah, yeah.
And then once the egg doesn't get fertilized, then it starts to shed.
And it never will.
So yeah, you're right. It is thickest in your luteal phase.
Wow.
And then once you don't get
trippy.
Pregnant, whatever, or yeah, then it all comes and it all comes out of your cervix and your vagina.
Good luck, body.
But so a baby's not going in there, bud. B12.
I personally take B12 every single day.
I take it too.
We're not, and same with iodine. Like, if because we're all relatively vegetarians or vegans here, it's probably just good to have that because we're not getting that.
Mm-hmm. Where does iodine actually?
Iodine's
occur?
Blood.
Oh yeah, me stupid. Me no think that.
I think that's like the one thing that came up kind of low when I went to the primary care doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You have to be careful with iodine, though. There's, like, a lot between, like, holistic doctors of how much you should be taking. So just, like, be aware of that. I have I got one from Whole Foods. It's iodine in kelp. But also magnesium and B6 are really incredible supplements to take. Magnesium helps with period pain. It helps with calming your nerves.
Do you take it at night so that it doesn't make you, like, sleepy?
During my luteal phase,
magnesium makes you sleepy?
I feel like it does.
Everyone's different. A lot of people take it at night. Like my sister-in-law, she takes hers at night because she's definitely sleepy. But I'm a different person where I wake up and I have a lot of anxiety and a lot of thoughts already happening. So I can straight up take 500 milligrams in the morning and it just makes me feel like I can function, specifically in this phase when I have like a lot of anxiety and overthinking.
Do you take adaptogens?
Yeah, I love adaptogens.
Well. Like, yeah, in that time as well, right?
Yeah.
I take magnesium sometimes when I fly.
I have one more question. Selfish question.
Is this? Did someone tell you something?
No, but there have been a couple
why is
of
everyone
times
telling me what
in the
to
last
do?
Few years where, like, for the most part, my cycle is regular, but sometimes, like, it'll be so late, and my read of it is that it is connected to like periods where I'm like super stressed out and like I want to know if you have any information about
that. I've done
that.
I've stressed myself to be extremely late.
It's like what's going on there?
I think it's because it's that, so like cortisol is good for you, but if you're constantly in that like fight or flight or you're constantly stressed out, then the cortisol is, and again, guys, I'm still learning, it that too much of that all the time is going to like mess with your cycle.
Right. That makes sense because it's telling your body not safe, not safe.
Yeah, not safe for like a babe. You know what I mean? It's not safe to do this. So like you're like not,
It's like something I learned, which could be connected about stress and how it manifests in your body is like one of the signs of like if you're feeling relaxed is like if you hear your tummy rumble, like because if you have cortisol in your system, one of the things that it's signaling to do is to like pause your digestion. So like, and infancy, like I was a colicky baby. So like, I've always had problems with like, I'm stressed out. Like I stop digesting and it happens. Sorry, I kicked the mic. And it happens like if we're touring, it's like, or traveling, like, that is always a struggle for me because it's like the anxiety and the stress of like being in a new place.
Or if we have a photo shoot or a video shoot or something.
Oh my gosh, I'm not going to poop. If we have a photo shoot, I'm not going to poop. But it's like so interesting how, like if I'm stressed, I'm not digesting. So it maybe is a similar thing of like if the cortisol maybe is signaling like, hey, just like whatever anyone is doing in the body, like let's just pause the system right now because we need to focus on like staying alive or something.
No, like obviously we're not all like the three of us especially are like not experts or doctors, but what I think is interesting is
that's
like
the one thing that's been made
and
clear.
Yeah. That just please make that more clear.
Don't take medical advice from us.
No, but I do think that's like, no, but I kind of this is like a it's kind of I'm gonna say the opposite, which is like you kind of do have to take medical advice from your fucking self. It's like you know your body better than other people know your body. And like, I think that's why like intuitive medicine and like adaptogens and holistic medicine are very interesting to me, especially as someone who's like very afraid of the doctor. Like I don't like going to the doctor.
And what is added to salt? Iodine?
Oh my gosh.
What do you mean? What is added to traditional table salt? Is it iodine?
Naomi. I think it might be iodide.
Did I just make that up?
No, I think you might be right. I think that's
why it's added to salt because we don't naturally eat enough of it. But
it's iodine. Yeah, iodized salt.
Iodized salt.
Oh, wow.
I don't use it, but...
But maybe you should.
Well, no, I'm not going to do that.
Oh.
It doesn't taste as good.
It doesn't taste good.
Oh, okay. I see.
But that's, I think, why it's like certain foods that we... I mean, like, so many foods are enriched with vitamins, but I think, like, back... I don't know when that was started. Yeah.
No, I mean, okay, wait, yeah.
Are you finding out the information?
Joe's that second question, which was, how did this start manifesting?
Well, yeah.
I think Naomi pretty much touched on it, where, you know, it was a matter of wanting to take your health into your own hands because, you know, I didn't grow up really going to the doctor, so that I didn't even give them a chance to fail me, but I kind of like saw it happening. And so just with other people that I would talk to, and like my sister-in-law, like she was on birth control for a really long time. And again, full disclosure, anyone on birth control, that's amazing if it works for you. Yeah. But it definitely, there's this misconception that it's like regulating your hormones, and it's not. It's like completely masking your hormones. So even when you are on hormonal birth control and you get a period, it's not technically a period, it's like a pill bleed. So you're never really getting... Yeah, it's all like synthetic hormones. So you're not like you're stopping ovulation when you're on when you're
birth control. Is convincing the body that you're pregnant, right?
Yeah, exactly. So
then why do you bleed?
I don't really have the answer. It's like,
I'm disappointed.
It's not really part of your research.
It's like, no, I think that. I'm constantly researching, but I'm pretty sure that it's like a...
Yeah, withdrawal bleed.
Yeah, it's like a withdrawal bleed. I've never been on birth control, but I'm pretty sure there's like a pill that you take that kind of like stimulates the blood of like acting like it's still happening. Cause I'm like,
I wonder if you need to bleed
because your wall
withdrawal. Yeah. It's withdrawal bleeding. So,
oh my God.
Essentially
fucking crazy.
It's that get a real period at all. It's not the same as your menstrual period. It's a withdrawal bleeding, like because you're withdrawing from the hormones in the pill.
So that you're taking.
And the drop in hormone levels causes the lining in your uterus to shed.
Okay, thank you.
But it's not menstrual.
That is crazy.
Wild.
I can't tell you. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. And it's
I'm getting a medical degree on this episode.
Because I was on and off birth control so many times. And
they just want to give it to you. And I get it. They don't want you to get pregnant. And like they want you to be able to, like, I think that's important for people who can get pregnant. Like you have the choice of whether, because obviously men will lie.
And they're not on, even though they could have had birth control.
Well, it made them feel bad.
Yeah,
so.
And they didn't like it.
It's just frustrating when you go to the doctor with pain, and then that's what you're given. And I don't, and like, instead of being like, oh, maybe you can change your diet, or, you know, maybe track your period, or maybe any of this knowledge that we're now like learning ourselves, like, you know, on a constant basis. And so I do think the inspiration was like, even though I'm not like a massive thought leader in this space yet, and I hope to be one, it's just like, I want to learn more about myself and my body and, have more control versus just like waiting on a doctor to get a response and then to just like get a prescription for something. Like, this is TMI, but I know we're almost out of time, but I'll tell up story. Is I had bacterial vaginosis.
Mm-hmm. What?
Which is... it's crazy. It happens. You probably wouldn't know, Joe, because you're a lesbian, but dicks can throw off the pH level of your vagina.
I know that because I know how dirty they are.
Yeah, dirty.
No, it just throws your pH off, right?
It throws your pH off.
Any dick at all,
They're too acidic. Were they actually too...
vinegar dish.
Honestly, I bet you they are too acidic because they're fucking dirty and stinky.
But anyway, so I had one. I was like, what is happening down there?
Yeah.
Like, I eat relatively healthy.
Was it like a yeasty?
It was... Well, no, not yet. That came later. It was like this, like, just a rank smell that didn't feel like myself.
Like, something's going on.
One reason
why I'm a lesbian.
I think a lot of people get bacterial vaginosis.
You can get it from so many different... You can get a yeast infection from wearing a damn bathing suit. Like,
but the thing is, they gave me these antibiotics, which then killed all the good bacteria in my vagina. And then
gave
I got,
you a yeast infection.
And gave me a yeast infection.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow. So for 6 months, I went back and forth from BV to yeast infection.
The worst.
It was crazy.
So how did you fix it?
Oh, my God.
So I fixed it through this thing called boric acid. And based off like what I've looked into, it seems like it's the only one besides probiotics. Like, I even put a... And don't do this at home, but I dipped a tampon in opened up a probiotic and dipped my tampon in there and put it in my vagina. Shit. Which,
people
like,
do
not
that.
Know. Yeah,
people
yeah.
People do that.
That is so crazy. But I mean, like, why not?
But boric acid is a good one. Just don't swallow it. You put it in there. It's a suppository. I don't really know what boric acid is, except for it helped.
And it makes sense because it's an acid, so it's like maybe
Naomi's on
to
it.
Reset the balance.
Boric acid for BV. You're
probably
out here saving lives.
I really am so glad that Naomi's also had the laptop like in front of them.
Fact check.
This has been great.
100%. We're learning. We're studying.
I think it's the best method for blood. Are you a free bleeder?
Yes. I literally took a problem. Like, I ruin everything.
Why? Because you just like... I
wear period underwear. I got into that during COVID.
Do you have a pair of the Thinks or whatever?
I don't do Thinks. I do Mahdi Body from Australia. I love
anything. This episode is sponsored by Mahdi
Body. It could be if they reached out.
And actually, funny, Carla Welch, who Amber told me, I had no idea.
She's a stylist, right?
She's a stylist, super incredible stylist, and she created a period panty.
Wow.
So then Amber gave me her email, so I might be emailing you.
Oh, hell yeah.
What is it like?
I got a free pair given to me a while ago, and I wore them for the period purpose. I have this problem where, like, a lot of the time around my period, I think I'm getting my period, but I'm not, and it's usually, like, 3 days before I'm starting to, like, ooh, no, like, I'm panicking. I'm, like, I'm worried I'm going to bleed in my pants, so I'll, like, wear it to sleep or whatever, and then nothing will happen. But the last period that I had, I wore it for the first day, and it actually was cool.
Yeah,
I wear a Diva cup. I really like my Diva cup.
Because of TMI reasons, I can't use a cup. It sucks because I wish I could.
Yeah.
It's really common.
It's super common.
You
need to find the right shape. That's another thing too. It's like all insides are not made the same.
Right.
All different sizes and
shapes. I need one shape the other night, actually. Like some kind of backwards or something.
I do. But I do really see like the strange connection between your work as a stylist and your work now, because there's something really unique about like you just have like no like judgment or shame or stigma around like anybody's experience, anybody's like shape, anybody's like what they're going through and what their body is like. So I think that it makes sense that you can be like of service in a really specific way. Where you're like, just tell me what's going on and we can figure out something that works. You know?
Also, it's just like nobody has, I mean, everybody's like dealing with some wild stuff like in that way.
Right.
If it's not the bleeding, it's the emotion. And if it's not the emotion, it's something else. You know what I mean?
In the same way that it's like even styling like the three of us, it's like everybody has like a slightly different gender identity and like different mood variations. You know?
Mine is grumpy.
But it's like that. It seems to be the same kind of ethos that y'all are bringing to Hummingway, where it's like, well, every single person, if we can't have a model that's like, you know, just gets, what's the word for that? Just gets like copy pasted onto everybody's.
Yeah.
Like,
especially if it was tested on men.
Yeah.
No shade to men, cis men.
Speaking of Hummingway, like, what's the dream? Like, I don't think we really talked about like what your guys' intentions are, and also what are your dreams based on like this newfound love of the insides?
Yeah, I think the ultimate dream would, once we launch, to kind of, I've been kind of doing it, but finding schools and researchers who are like really into this, and we have like an advisory board of like holistic health coaches and gynecologists, but it would be nice to eventually like Hummingway be creating the research, because there's such a lack of, would be like the ultimate goal. That's like my main focus. And I also think just like trying every supplement in the world, everything is like, oh, here's, you know, gummies that are going to fix bloating and mood and this. And I just kind of feel like, yeah, there's a lot of things that you can do for that, but everyone is different. And so like with our first product, like it's very directed at menstrual pain and like what's happening there, and to like create almost like this kit that you have for your period, and then this, you know, certain products that might help you in like your luteal phase, and then go into fertility, and then go into menopause, which is also just like this dark box that no one talks about.
Right.
That I'm not even close. I'm still learning this part of our bodies, like this cycle that we go through in life. But yeah, I think the goal is to just get people to check in with themselves. Like when you go to our website, when it launches in October, you can like take a quiz that kind of just helps you figure out where you are in your body. And it's like, hey, you might be here, like read this article. Like we have a content platform that we have scientists writing on. And so I think it's really just to get people to check in with themselves and like get to know your body and not just so be on like the go, 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 and just create this like lifestyle around talking about this and trying to break down the stigma. And, but yeah, the goal would be like research.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.